Thanks for being here. Going to start and talk a little bit about where we are as a team in the first half of the season, then hit two quick points and then open it up to you all. Obviously, you know, no other way to describe our first half other than very disappointing. You know, I had 8 opportunities in the regular season, haven't pulled out a victory yet to this point. Pleased with the guys' work ethic. Both the coaching staff and the players, but really disappointed that at the end of the day we haven't been able to come away when the clock stopped with a victory yet this season. And certainly our standards are much higher than that, and our expectations are higher than that. You know, easy to get lost in certainly the wins and losses. There has been some progress. We'll talk about that a bit. I have liked the contributions that some of our free agents have come in, really appreciative of the young players that have come in and been thrown into some situations where they've had to start earlier in their careers where they may have had to elsewhere, but contributing well and seeing some of that production from some of their young players. But at the end of the day, you know, guys, it's my responsibility to deliver a roster here that is talented enough to win week in, week out, and we haven't done that yet. We are confident as we move forward that we will be able to add. You guys know how well we're positioned, the requisite talent to bring this roster back to be a contender for this division and beyond, but we're not there yet. And so, you know, we've got to own that, and we will. Just going to hit two quick points here and then open it up for questions. First, Joe Thomas. I think you guys saw the trade, the raise for Joe wasn't even really an extension idea. There was really something we had contemplated and discussed for some weeks prior to Joe's injury, and his injury just came at an inopportune time. We were able to sit with him, thought it was the right thing to do by him. He's been a warrior. He obviously has played at a very high level for a very long time and represents a tremendous amount for this organization. Hugh, Jimmy, myself, the rest of the staff, the entire organization just appreciates the heck out of him and what he's given to the organization, and felt terrible that he had that injury and brought an end to his streak this year. But we were able to extend him and bring him up to one of the higher paid, if not the highest paid, left tackle in the game for this and next year. So we're pleased to do that. And then secondly, I think this has been reported, but I was just going to hit so everybody's clear. Josh Gordon is not back in the facility today. He will be back tomorrow. We have had very little contact with Josh, so I'm not able to comment much on the state of his being. We have had some preliminary conversations with him. We're looking forward to having him back. He will not be able to practice for the first couple of weeks while he's here. But otherwise, he'll be back on the roster afterwards. So I'll open it up.
Hey, Sasha, how would you characterize the relationship right now between the front office and the coaching staff?
You know, good. I think these builds are challenging, you know, Tom, and they do place a lot of adversity on organizations. I think organizations and individuals' characters come out. Character comes out in those circumstances. And you know, obviously not going to sugarcoat anything. Last week was a tough week for us from a PR perspective and things that we can get better on. But the groups are working together and working hard, and we'll continue to. But we understand, while we haven't had the results we aspire to, that those are going to be, you know, the types of stories that come out. Now, we have to do everything we can to stay unified. And I think those are the keys. That is the key ingredient towards making these this is a successful effort, you know, on both parts, and we will get there.
Can you take us from your end? Tell us what happened with this McCarron trade, please.
Yeah, it's a lot simpler than what's been written, truly. This is just a matter of getting to a deal too late in the process. And I think both sides, both Cincinnati and us, tried our damnedest to try to get the paperwork in at the last minute. And we're talking about minutes and seconds. Before the trade deadline ended, we were on the phone with the NFL at the time to try to make it happen. It did not happen. I do think Cincinnati and Ernest tried it. I know we did everything humanly possible to get it done. It just didn't happen. It is truly that simple.
There is in on time? Their paperwork, that's it? Everyone, that's what we – did they get there is in on time?
It's too technical to try to simplify that way. So there's no paperwork that either side got in Jeff, that would allow a deal to happen. And it's truly that simple. They had our paperwork, we had theirs, and then it was incumbent upon us to send it in.
Sabotage has been used, that you didn't want to make the deal deep down, so you delayed, or you know, whatever you want to say, if you want to address that.
Yeah, I'll go back to kind of the point I made to Tom earlier. When you're in this situation, you know, things are going to get written that way. We're big boys enough. That's wholly untrue. So, you know, I think we were all in there together, Hugh, myself, and a couple other staff members that work on these things at the time we were trying to get the trade done. So I'm not worried about that internally. Externally, I can just put it to bed. That's just not the case. Nothing we would ever do to try to make up a trade to sabotage a trade just wouldn't make any sense.
The relationship between the front office and the coaching staff, did the inability to get that trade off last week, did that imply any kind of break from that?
No, I think, you know, we really are a transparent, collaborative group, particularly at the top, where before we embark on any trade discussions even, we have good discussions on how a player would fit, how the coaches would see him utilize that player. And as much as these trades seem like they happen right at the deadline, they're actually usually are weeks in a process. So they're not as last minute as they quite seem. You have a lot of opportunity to talk internally prior to engaging and then throughout the engagement on where you'll be. So, you know, our coaching staff and Hugh in particular is really my partner in a lot of these discussions. He understands right where that is and all the efforts that went into it.
I mean, Hugh said last week that everything needs to be perfect to win, and he said he was going to ask Jimmy to improve the roster, and then you don't get that quarterback. So how does Hugh react?
Well, listen, you know, he's there. He knows the efforts that went in to try to get the deal done. It didn't happen. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's our job to make those things happen in terms of getting the actual transaction finalized. We were all disappointed that it didn't happen.
So I guess the one thought would be that you talk about the deal coming at the last minute. I guess, why did the wheel start turning earlier on McCarron?
Yeah, and I think that's the place where, you know, I'm not going to talk a lot about the conversations with Cincinnati, but that's a place where I think when we look back and try to learn from all of our experiences and some of the transactions that we undertake, that's the one place that I think we were talking this morning a little bit about, you know, what we would do differently next time. I think that's a fair critique. Deadlines do make deals, but they don't have to. And so we can get better there.
Why did McCarron in the first place? What would he have done for the organization?
Yeah, I think AJ is a guy who's experienced in our system, obviously has played in the NFL games. Hugh's got a lot of familiarity with him. So for all those reasons, he's a young quarterback who's shown some talent and promise on the field and has familiarity with our system. That's a very rare combination.
It wasn't just written, the word sabotage. I mean, it's been discussed by other teams, unidentified, but nonetheless reported nationally. Why doesn't that bother you?
I couldn't tell you, Tony, what other teams are going to discuss, and frankly, that's not our concern. We know what we do here in the building. We stay on the same page in good communication, so.
You're right. You're on the same page, you're in good communication, you and Hugh are working in lockstep, but everything that's said and written and some of the stuff that's been reported that's leaked out is completely contrary to that. So I guess how do you reconcile or, you know, justify that position that you guys really are on the same page and working together when the common perception that is out there right now is that you guys really aren't on the same page?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I can't go to every single report that's been out there. As I said to Tom, I think, you know, in these builds and in these moments, you know, there is a lot of adversity that will put pressure on people, and we have to stay united internally. I wouldn't address it other than that, but we are working together, and that's what I would say to him.
So, can you tell us, did you call the Patriots to see if you get him at the deadline, or what happened with that one?
I wouldn't get into all the discussions we had. I know the McCarron thing is a little unique just because it's been so widely reported, and there actually was trade paperwork sent to the league. But, Jeff, as you know, under league rules, I can't comment on our interest in another player and wouldn't comment, frankly, just respectfully to other teams about what comments we did or did not have with the Patriots or anyone else, and you shouldn't read into that one way or the other.
You said you haven't been able to deliver the kind of roster that you want to this point. What has been your biggest failing in your mind?
You know, I think overall I would begin this by saying, you know, we were really realistic about where our roster was when we took over December 2015, coming in January 2016. We understood, if you look back, and I think you guys are familiar, many of you have documented it, where our past draft classes were and what we were relying on, you know, in terms of pipeline of young players, older players who are contributing, performing to either their contract levels or otherwise. And that's no excuse. I mean, we want, as I said from day one, we want the winning to start as soon as possible. And it's one of the reasons we so aggressively have tried to position ourselves in terms of, I think we're going to end up with something close to about 5 drafts in 3 years, the equivalent of that. So we're realistic, first of all. And then secondly, you know, listen, I want to arm our coaches and our personnel staff wants to arm our coaches with as much talent as we possibly can have to go out there and win every Sunday. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of opportunities out there, and we're realistic. There will be those opportunities, whether it's, you know, a player that's going to perform on another team at a high level or is performing on another team that you had a chance to draft, or a free agent that you miss on, or a trade that you don't quite get transaction. That's part of it, and we have to be realistic and accountable to that. We're not going to be perfect. That's not the name of the game, but it's to be better than the others. So we have a very aggressive plan as we move forward to bolster this roster in a huge offseason, probably the most important we have coming up, and we'll plan to execute on it.
It's true that the long view rebuild of 3, 4, 5 years, whatever timetable you want to put on it, why was that the route that you and the organization felt was necessary? But when you look around the league, teams every year, they go from 4-12 or 5-11 to 10-6 in the playoffs the very next year. So, and the common denominator is they add the quarterback. So why was building the team first and then trying to insert the quarterback, why in this long-term view, why was that the route you guys took?
Yeah, so common kind of chicken and egg question, right, that goes on in this league. And I think you've seen people debate this one way or the other. Many of you have kind of documented this with the Tim Couch experience here, whether they threw Tim out too early and kind of ruined his career. I don't subscribe to that one way or the other. I think circumstances change. It's different in every building. It's different on every roster. It's different with every quarterback and his personality and makeup. For us, you know, I think the first thing we realized is how far we had to come in terms of replenishing our talent. And so as we've made decisions to trade back at different times, that's been a theme of that. We are, I promise you, very intent on addressing the quarterback position. Even when we haven't taken one high in the last 2 years, we've found ways to add, you know, other players to that room, and we'll continue to look for every opportunity there. In all honesty, I don't think there's a right answer, and I don't think anybody ever knows, because you never can prove the negative, what would have happened if something else. But there's certainly teams that are out there that are turning around. We are going to be one of those teams. We're confident in what we're going to do moving forward. But, you know, these things will always be second-guessed until we win, and we understand that. And we certainly have high expectations for ourselves, and we're not going to sit here and cry for ourselves. No one's crying for us. This is football.
Is it true that that you were gone by 5 p.m. on Monday night, and that you were kind of caught off guard by the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing, and that you were not in the building?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics, Mary Kay. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of that being written. We will never know what's in the minds of other teams. It'd be nice to be able to control where all the other teams are going to send their players. We don't have that control. But a lot of this stuff that's been written has been made up. So someone can call my wife and kids and tell them where I was at 5 o'clock. But it certainly wasn't home.
Sasha, if you guys decided you have to change how you evaluate quarterbacks in the way that it appears you missed on Wentz and then on Watson, and they're obviously really, really good.
Yeah, you take your hat off to both those young players who are off to hot starts to their careers. I think whenever we look at an opportunity in the draft, first you come knowing that there's going to be opportunities that you miss on to add talent to your roster. I think good organizations, I've talked about this before, do go back and look at those decisions and those evaluations. What did we miss? We're perpetually doing that here internally. What is all the information we had? How did we gather it? Was it accurate? How did we analyze the information, put it all together to come to a decision? And some of those are more strategic and tactical to Daryl's question earlier. And some of those are just purely in terms of the actual operational issue of evaluating the player. And we look at it both ways. You know, I think we've got some really good processes in place. I'm pleased with the guys we have pulled out of the draft to think that they're performing well, almost to a man. But you know, at the end of the day, we always can get better, and we'll always look to get better, certainly, including at the quarterback position, absolutely.
Last week, so I ask you again, what do you tell – I mean, it's every Sunday people see, you know, Carson's doing really well, like the missed opportunity there. When Jimmy Haslam asks about that, because I got to imagine he sees it too, you know, what do you say from your perspective, how do you explain to him that, you know, you might have missed one, but here's why it's okay?
Yeah, listen, we never walk away feeling like it's okay in terms of that's something we plan to do. But we also have to be professional enough and realistic enough to know that's going to be part of it. You know, there's a guy out in Seattle running around that the entire league passed on 2.5 times. And those are the things that you want to learn from, you know, in all honesty, and you got to be accountable to them and go back and take a look at it. You know, and I'm not going to comment on Carson. I'm, you know, happy that he's off to a good start to his career. Obviously, you know, for us, the focus has to be moving forward. What can we learn from that that can help our decisions moving forward?
Well, you could say you didn't learn from it because then you traded down the next year at number 12. So
yeah, Tony, I would just say I don't think trading down was the problem. You know, I think it's just purely evaluating. There's obviously a lot of teams that pass on Russell Wilson that know how to evaluate quarterbacks. There's a lot of teams that passed on Deshaun Watson or other quarterbacks that have Derek Carrs and the others that didn't go 1-2 in the draft. That certainly have the ability to evaluate quarterbacks. And I don't shy away from missed opportunities at all. That's going to be a piece of it. There's a lot of non-quarterbacks out there, frankly, that are playing well right now, too, we'd love to have on our team. But we're not going to get everyone right, and we haven't, and we won't moving forward. We will get enough of them right, and we will solve the quarterback position here.
How do you handle, you mentioned before about the coaches and the office. This is sort of a Browns almost ugly tradition of as when things get bad, there's splits. How do you prevent that from happening this time?
Yeah, and I think it's been here, it's been elsewhere, well documented. I think it's incumbent upon the leadership to come together and to address it and to lead through it. You know, that is what adversity will breed in professional sports. It's highly public. It's very competitive. And we have to lead through it. I think it really is incumbent upon us from ownership right on down to be the type of organization and to mandate that from everybody in our organization and all the staffs.
I asked you, the night of the draft, how come you ignored wide receiver? And your answer was, we're young, but we like the guys we have. So did you expect more from these guys, or how disappointed are you in that position?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at it, obviously Corey's been hurt and we've missed him. But we certainly, as we look at that group, understand that it hasn't performed as well as we had hoped. Bringing in Kenny, and he's off to a slower start than I think we expected and wanted. But not just singling him out. I think the entire group can get going. Ricardo's had a couple good weeks and settled himself down and made some big plays for us. But I think as we get Corey back and come off the bye week, we'll get that group growing. Al and Bob do a good job with the wide receivers, coaching them, bringing them in. We've had some new players that we've added late at the trade deadline. I'm sorry, the waiver wire, and claim those players. And we'll continue to work them in. If Josh is able to get back and onto the field, which we expect will happen, that'll be a big boost to that group as well.
Well, you sat here and told us the idea of sabotage was wholly untrue, but did you have that discussion behind the scenes with the coaching staff, with Hugh and his assistants? Because,
you know, even there's a report out nationally that several coaches believe that it indeed was sabotage. Have you had to have those talks with those guys?
Yeah, again, Nate, we're going to leave the internal discussions internal. But as I said, I'm not worried about that part of it. As I said, Hugh was in the room as we were hustling to try to get the deal done. So he observed it and witnessed it. For us, we have to be realistic and big boys about the fact that right now we're not great, and it's easy to pile on and write various things. So all those things, to Terry's point, we'll have to lead and as a leadership group, not just me, but as a leadership group, get through.
If it's purely evaluating in terms of why you guys passed on Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz, what can you say to fans, to coaches, to make anybody believe that if you have to pick a quarterback in the draft coming up that, or in free agency or anything, that you can get that right?
Yeah, I think, you know, the group that we have here, one, we work well with the coaches. We've got good processes with them as we move through, our spring evaluation, and actually it'll be free agency this year potentially as well, that we will work well together, understanding what we need for our system. And, you know, we're going to work it as hard as we can, in all honesty. We've got good processes in terms of background on these guys, good systems in place in terms of evaluating and touch points all over the place. So we will get it right. It doesn't mean we're going to get every single one right, but we're confident of where we're heading and the group we have here in place.
For about three more.
Do you need a football guy to help you with this evaluation going forward?
We have football people here, Jeff, but we're always looking at our staff to figure out where we are, but really pleased with the job that the guys have done. Again, if you look at the players we have selected and how early they're performing well, then, you know, I think you can see that this group can evaluate, and we'll continue to do that coming up in the next draft.
Are you concerned about Kizer basically starting from day one, and really there's been no kind of veteran quarterback? I'm not talking about to mentor him, but simply to put in the games for a while so he could get acclimated to the league and so on.
You know, we have a lot of trust in kind of the decision in terms of how to manage that room. David and Hugh do a good job. They're close with all three guys, Kevin, Cody, and Deshaun. Obviously a young room, not a lot of experience in it. Decision that we made, you know, at the deadline to move on from Brock. And so it's something that we'll certainly have discussed and revisit. But Deshaun's doing a good job in terms of his resilience, his focus. All three of those guys are working hard. Cody and Kevin have been ready when their number's been called.
How did ownership react to the failed McCarron trade, and do you have any worry whatsoever that it could ultimately cost you your job?
I don't. I think we're in good communication with both Dee and Jimmy on these things, and they're well apprised of what we're doing and why and how things come together. I think they've seen our track record in terms of being able to perform and pull off some of the more creative deals in the league and a host of just simple, straightforward of these transactions, whether they're in the season or in draft day. So I don't. I think they understand that we've been as aggressive as any team trying to churn this roster and improve it.
That you guys are going to stay intact and come back next year?
No, it wouldn't be a conversation that I would have either, Scott. I think the most important thing for us to do is really stay focused on our task at hand. You've got 8 other opportunities this year. Our guys have been resilient and focused. I think you'd expect no less from the front office and the coaching staff, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Sashi, there's
I want to go back to Britt. And I know you signed other free agents that are contributing, but it didn't take a lot of institutional knowledge to have to know that contract was an eyebrow raiser. The amount and the years for a guy who, you know, has had issues in the past. And you said he's gotten off to a slow start. Did you consult the coaching staff and the receivers coach about signing him before he was signed?
We have not going to go all the way back through all our evaluation process. We have good processes, you know, internally. The reality of free agency, Pat, is when you're a wide receiver, that's a starting wide receiver in this league, and you hit free agency, you're going to get paid. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And Kenny has, you know, 8 more opportunities this year and future years on his deal to come around. You know, we haven't been, obviously, from his perspective or ours, where we expected to be with his performance. But he's working hard, and he'll continue to. And so I think that is the reality and dangers of free agency. Kevin, JC, Jason come in, and Kenny, they provide us, you know, some real stable performance. And my sense is that Kenny will work to turn it around here in the second half.
There's a report that Peyton Manning has been in town recently. Are you guys talking to Peyton Manning about coming in here and joining this organization?
You shouldn't read to it one way. Even if we were, we wouldn't comment on it here, and that's how I would leave it.
You said when you first got hired, continuity was one of the pillars.
Yes.
Aside from everything that happened last week, the record is still what it is. Do you worry that with that record, that the continuity pillar, especially with an owner who has not been afraid to make changes, that might topple?
No, I think that's not the way you go into it. Obviously, if we were racing to try to get as good as we can, as fast as we can, we would have a different strategy. That isn't ours. We want to be sustainable. We're going to be good, and when we get there, we'll be good for a long time. You've seen a defense here that's transformed from the bottom of the league to somewhere in the top half to maybe even top quartile, depending on what metric you're looking at or what statistic you're looking at. And it's entirely young, and that's something for fans to be excited about. You know, we've got maybe four guys that are on rookie deals on the defense, and they're already a top 15, top 12 defense, depending on the way you look at it. Our offensive line has come together and stabilized, and we have some more pieces we need to drop in here to get the roster where it needs to be. But there are signs of progress that people can be excited about and look forward to. At the same time, we're disappointed in the results, and we own those, and we'll get those better.